Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Grace, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you, we praise you, we exalt you, we magnify you. Lord, we're asking, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew 28. We're going to look at verses 1 through 6. And I've entitled this morning's message, Jesus, the Risen Christ. Jesus, the Risen Christ. Amen. And so, the trivia question. What was the day that he rose on? What feast was it? It's right there in front of you. Feast of First Fruits. Remember, he died on Passover. Okay, we're going to look at that chart in a few minutes. But if you have your Bibles, turn with me to now to Matthew, and we're going to read verses 1 through 6, and it reads, Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake. Woo, man, I know some of you got shook in this past week, huh? For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. Verse 3, his countenance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for the fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the woman, Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. Say that with me. He is not here, for he has risen. He is what? Risen. As he said, come, see the place where the Lord laid. You know, this morning we started praying at 9 o'clock and we were praying in the Holy Ghost. And I believe the Holy Ghost fell this morning on us. And then I shared with them that when Jesus rose again, his clothes were folded neatly, right where he laid in the tomb. And this is how much time he took when the clothes came off, he folded them and put them right there. You know what? I know you don't see the significance of that, but I do. Because God is in the small things.
Yes, he is.
He's in the small things of our life. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
For instance, I shared it this morning with the group. I don't take it for granted. When my wife does the laundry, she folds all the clothes and puts them in my drawer. That's a blessing.
Yes, that's right.
Did you know that's a blessing? Well, he folded his clothes to see that he was gone.
Amen.
I've gone on to be with the Father. My goodness. And so the resurrection of our Lord Jesus is the greatest celebration message ever delivered to mankind.
Amen. Thank you.
What first appeared to be a defeat turned out to be the accomplishment of an amazing mission by Jesus Christ, who overcame death, hell, and the grave, and lives forevermore. How many believe that?
Amen.
He lives forevermore.
Right.
So let's look at this chart once again. And we celebrated last week, what? Passover, right?
Yeah.
It landed on a Sunday. It was Nisan 15. Then he was in the tomb during unleavened bread. And unleavened, we all know, is a type of no leaven, no sin. Jesus had no sin.
That's right.
Bible says that he laid in the tomb without any sin. Praise God. Because if he had sin, you and I would be men and women most miserable. He came to take away our sins. Can I get amen? He was the sinless Savior. Hallelujah. And then we're celebrating around the world the original first fruits, which was Tuesday, Nisan. But today the world celebrates what? Easter Sunday, right? And then they what? They did what Friday? What was it called? Good Friday, right? I remember, man, all we could eat that day was fish. How many remember that? It was all religious. It was all religious. Had nothing to do with the Bible. Had nothing to do with it. Oh, yeah. Oh, but we couldn't wait for Sunday, huh? Huh? Finding the eggs, especially the ones with money in it. My question is, what does a bunny and an egg have to do with the risen Christ? We know now it's all pagan. Can I get amen? I'm going to be bold. It's pagan. It's pagan. And we're not going to be celebrating that when we're in heaven. I hope you know that. Ain't going to be no Easter bunny up there. Ain't going to be no Reese's peanut butter eggs up there. There'll be none of that. But we'll be with the Lord. Hallelujah. So, the world is celebrating the third feast. Because he has risen from the dead. Can I get amen? Amen. And so, sometime, I believe it's in June, we'll be celebrating the Feast of Pentecost. When the Holy Ghost was poured out. And then in the fall, trumpets. We always look for trumpets. Can I get amen? Could it be this year? Hallelujah, that he raptures the church. How many believe in a literal rapture? Oh, just one, just two. That's it. So the rest of you don't believe we're going to get raptured, right? Man, I can't believe it. A lot of you guys don't believe in the rapture. Let me show a hand. How many believe in the rapture? There we go. Hallelujah. Jesus. Because he's coming to get us. I hope you know that. The dead in Christ shall rise first. We that are alive and remain shall be what? Caught up. Caught up. And we don't know. But listen, that last feast is going to be the most glorious one. You know why? Because that's the feast where the 1,000-year millennial reign will start and we will be with him. We will see Jesus face to face. And we will rule and reign with them. How many can't wait for that golden age? You know, Trump says this is a golden age. Nah, the golden age will begin when Jesus comes. Can I get amen?
Amen.
When he comes back. And we will rule and reign with him. In that brand new body. How many can't wait for that brand new body? Unless you like the one you got now. Hallelujah. Some of you can't even walk no more. Some of you walk like this. Jesus. Oh, come on. Huh? They're still walking, yeah. For now. Jesus. Help us, God. Hallelujah. So my question would be this. What was Jesus' mission? What was his mission, saints? You see, the Bible says that he left heaven to come to this earth to accomplish all that the Father had told him to do. Jesus was obedient. Can I get an amen? But more so, he came to do this. He came to do this. Jesus came to reveal the Father. You see, you got to remember, God is spirit. Can I get amen? With your natural eyes, you cannot see the spirit realm. You can see the natural realm. When you walk outside, you can see the trees and the grass. And notice one thing. You could feel the wind, but you can't see the wind. It's the same thing with the Holy Ghost. You can't see the Holy Ghost, but you can feel it when he comes in you. When he comes upon you. Can I get amen? Oh, that's right. But he came to reveal the Father. Why? Because no one has ever seen God. Now, in the Old Testament, God was shout from heaven, and they all heard him. Even Saul of Tarsus and all his henchmen heard him when he was knocked off his beast. Why was he knocked off his beast? Because in his dogmatic mind, he thought he was doing God justice by killing off the saints. Until God, hallelujah, had to get a hold of his heart. And how many of you has he gotten hold of your heart? Can I get amen? Amen. How many of you were on your way? Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Woo! Going the wrong way. Can I get amen?
Amen.
And Jesus had to knock us off our beast. So Jesus came to reveal the Father. And so in the Old Testament, there was glimpses of the Heavenly Father. Just glimpses. But when the Son of God appeared in human flesh, mankind was given a much greater degree of revelation. Yeah. Hallelujah. You know why? Because he was tangible. He came in a body of flesh. They were able to touch him. Wouldn't you want a... Just go back. Go back. Wouldn't you want to be there 2,000 years ago just to touch the Messiah?
Oh, yeah.
Just to get a hug from him? Well, saints, it's going to be soon, and very soon, we're going to be with him. Can I get amen?
Amen?
See, Jesus made some startling claims about his relationship to the Father. This is what made the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, all these religious folks, angered them. This is why they wanted to kill him. You know why? Because they thought that he was speaking blasphemous. Look at some of the scriptures that Jesus said. Look at this in John 8:19. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. You see, but they didn't know the Father, and they didn't know who Jesus was. And so they thought he was a blasphemer. They thought he was what? An intruder. A false Messiah, because so many of them. False prophet, a deceiver. Why? Because there was many of them back in that day. What made Jesus different? He raised the dead. He gave sight to the blind. He caused the mute to speak. He called the cripple to walk again. Hallelujah. He delivered leprosy. That was the cancer of the day. He would do things that no one else could do, especially raising the dead. Hallelujah. When he raised Lazarus, when he raised the little girl, hallelujah, no one had the authority, no one had the power, no one could do such a thing. And yet he did them all, and yet they still were walking in unbelief. This is where we need to be careful. We need to be careful. We need to remember always what he has done for us. Amen? So that when we are faced with new challenges, are we going to doubt or are we going to believe that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever think and ask and hope for? Because God is going to allow challenges to come until he comes for us. Can you still say, God, I remember what you did? And I know what you can do. Because you're the God that can do. Can I get amen?
Amen?
Not the God that I might do. He's the God that can do. And will do. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Now they wanted to stone him when he said this. I and the Father are one. That was so blasphemy to these religious guys. These were the guys with the pompous hats and the robes. And they're the ones that look so religious. But Jesus said, you guys are nothing but vipers of snakes. You are filled with dead men's bones. He called them whitewashed tombs. Hallelujah. He said, you are of your father, the devil. My goodness, my goodness. Man, I'm telling you, after he said such things, they wanted to pick up rocks and stone him. Oh, yes. It cut through the core. It cut right through that. That religious spirit. And that religious spirit is still here. It's still here. It's in the woke church and the religious church. They all two come together. Can I get amen? Amen. The woke church and the religious church. My, my, my. Look at this in John 14, 11. I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Now, let me ask this question. Are you going to believe Jesus? Or are you going to believe the religious folks that disagreed with him?
Jesus.
Well, there's a lot of denominations now that don't believe this no more. There's a lot of them that have embraced homosexuality. They have embraced sodomy. They have embraced transgenderism. They have embraced fornication and adultery. They don't care what's going on in their church. Just put money in the basket. That's all they care. I'm here to let you know that if we cannot stand for righteousness, what are we here for? But what about the love? You know what? When you tell them the truth, it's because you love them. When you don't say the truth, you don't love them. Jesus was telling them the truth because he loved them. He wanted them to be saved. Point number two. Jesus came to redeem fallen mankind. How many believe that we are fallen beings? This morning, I think it was about 9:15, I looked at my clock. I was right here sitting down praying. And I was thanking God for giving me my mind back.
Yes.
For washing me in the blood. Because I remember when I didn't have a mind to praise him. I didn't have a mind to walk after him. The mind was up to no good. It was corrupt. And yet, he came to save us. To deliver us. To place in us his Holy Spirit so that we can worship the King. So we can worship him and love him. He created us to love him. Come on, give him a shout of praise. He gave us his love so we would learn how to love. Because without his love, we don't know how to love. Help us, God. And because humanity is very sinful, how many believe we need a Savior?
Yes.
Otherwise, we will die in our sin and face condemnation. You see, one of the things that the Holy Spirit does, what I love about the Holy Spirit convicts us. Satan condemns you. Can I get amen?
Amen.
There's a difference. Conviction is, okay, God, I'm going the wrong way. I want to do it your way. Condemnation means you're going to hell for your sin, period. Without anything to say there's a way of escape. See, Satan wants you to not know that there's a way of escape. And that is through who? Through Christ. Through Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. So Jesus came to rescue us. Look what it says in Luke 19. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. How many of you can honestly say to yourself that before we gave our hearts to Christ, we was lost without a cause? Gone. I shared this on Wednesday night. If we were to put all of our sins on here, so that we could all see our sins in our mind, I'd be the first one to beat you to the door and run out of here. Can I get an amen? Help us, God. Help us, God. Jesus, help us. Let's look at our third point. I promised my wife that I won't be up here too long, so we have a chance to eat and have and fellowship. I know all of you have other outings and families to go to, so I'll try to keep it short here. Verse 3. He came to revive the faltering hope of those who were looking for the Messiah. You see, back then, why did they want a Messiah back then? Let me ask this question. Why did, during the time of Jesus, what kind of king were they looking for? What kind of Messiah were they looking for? Yes. That's one. But more so, they wanted a king to raise up an army to destroy Romans, to destroy Rome. Because Rome had them in bondage. They were under the tyranny of Rome. So they were looking for someone to set them free physically, mentally. They didn't realize Jesus came to save the soul from hell, from death, and from the grave. So he came a whole different way. And that's why some of them had to be reminded of that. Some of them had to come into a place of surrendering and say, oh my gosh, we missed why he came. That's why a lot of them said, crucify him. Remember the ones that were hailing him. They were saying, Maranatha. They were waving the palms when he came into Jerusalem on a donkey. They were hailing him, King of Israel. Hosanna, Hosanna. And then moments later, the same mouth was saying, crucify him. Woo! Yeah, they wanted Barabbas. Woo! That's right. They came to a conclusion. We don't need this guy. This guy's too soft. We need Barabbas. Wow. Wow. You see, my friends, there are references to God's Spirit in the Old Testament. But Jesus, he unveiled much more about him to his disciples. Praise God. Look what it says in John 14 right up here. No, Isaiah. For unto us, here we go. For unto us what? And unto us the government. Oh, let's read this again. You know what? For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called what? Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Next time you come to a religious organization that don't believe that Jesus is God, show them that. That he's the Mighty God. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Just have them pack up and run. Or fall on their face and ask for forgiveness. God will forgive them. But he was God in the flesh. But there are organizations that they just believe he's the Son of God. Church of Christ is one. Remember that. Church of Christ. They're big. They're everywhere. They have one of the biggest churches in National City on 8th Avenue. It's an all-Filipino congregation. It's called Church of Christ. They believe that Jesus was not God. He was just the Son of God. Wow. Wow. You know what? If he wasn't God, guess what? Our sins still remain. Oh, help us, God. Jesus, help us. When John the Baptist introduced Jesus as the long-awaited Messiah, Andrew believed and told his brother Peter, look at this. We have found the Messiah. We found him. We found the Messiah. Their hope was restored. Praise God. Listen, how many of you can honestly say, we found the Messiah? And our hope is restored. Can I get amen?
Right.
Come what may. I don't care if we lose our job. I don't care what happens to us. Hallelujah. Our hope has been restored. Praise God. We are now heaven bound and a hell to shun. Praise God. Let's look at our fourth point right up here. Look at this. He came to offer his life as a sacrifice on the cross for our sins. Praise God. Peter wrote this down. Look at this in 1 Peter. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed. Turn to your neighbor and say, by his wounds you are healed. And let me just say this. Your sin sick soul is what was healed. Can I get amen?
Amen?
Remember, we had a dead soul. It had no mind for God. It had vulgar and anger and clamor and so much vile and vicious lawlessness out of the mouth, out of the mind, out of the soul. And Jesus came to heal it. Hallelujah. And when he came to heal our soul, hallelujah, now we have a soul to worship him and to praise him and to glorify his name. Someone give him a shout of praise in the house. Come on, is he worthy?
He's worthy, yes.
Ooh, he is worthy. He is so worthy. Saints, Jesus' death provided the redemption that accomplished salvation to each and every one of us. How many are so blessed to know that we've been redeemed amen. By the blood of the Lamb? Can I get amen?
Amen?
So let's look at our fifth point right up here. Look at this. He came to introduce us to the power of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let me just say this. Without the Holy Spirit in our life, we would be powerless. You would have no will to pray, no mind to pray. We would have no desire to lay hands on the sick. We would have no desire to lead someone to Christ. But because of the power of the Holy Spirit, we are now compelled to do the will of God. Hallelujah. Yes, it is a privilege. So there are many references to God's Spirit in the Old Testament, but Jesus unveiled much. Look what it says right here in John. In John 14, 16. I will pray the Father, and he will give you what? Another helper, that he may abide with you forever. Did it say that I'll just stay with you for a while? Huh? How long is forever?
Forever.
Look at verse 17. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him. Turn to your neighbor. But you know him. Look at this. For he dwells with you and will be in you. How many are so blessed to know that he's living inside of us now? Come on, man. You got to be excited. He's living in us. The risen Christ is living inside. Wow. Hallelujah. How does that work? By faith. By faith. Aren't you so blessed we didn't have to go to college and get a certificate?
Thank you,
Lord. Huh? And then we traded in, okay, here's my certificate. Now I want the Holy Spirit.
No.
It's like going to a church and they'll teach you how to speak in tongues. Yeah, there's all kinds of them too.
Don't forget the baby.
Yeah. Just say ba 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 do do da 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 for several times. Do that in repetition, and it'll happen, huh?
Don't forget the baby
until
when you're done.
Oh yeah. Don't forget to leave that offering. Jesus, help us. Help us, God. Help us, Lord. Woo, help us, God. Look at this. Number six. Look at this. He came to show us how to love and forgive one another. Ooh. I'm being so blessed to know that when you got filled with the Holy Spirit, God softened your heart. How many people in your life can you honestly say, you don't have to say them out loud. Don't give them away. But how many people in your life before you got saved, you hated their guts? You hope they were dead. If someone would put a gun in your hand, you would have shot them already. Oh, come on. Okay, that was just me then. I'm talking about me. I'm sorry. I don't know about you, but I'm talking about me, okay? All those saints of God, he taught these lessons. Many of them were on the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus' greatest instruction was accomplished on the cross. On the cross. One of the things he said. How many can remember what he said? After they mocked him, they spat on him, they ripped his beard. Josephus, who was an eyewitness account, a Jewish theologian that was there as an eyewitness. You could read the writings of Josephus. He was not in the Bible, but he was there as a witness. He said that Jesus, who hung on the cross, was so mangled up and he was naked before the world, you couldn't even tell his gender no more. That's how badly beaten and torn his flesh was ripped away from him. And yet he opened not his mouth. And what did he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Wow. Man, he could have called a legion of angels. Okay, Michael, there they are. Wipe them all out. Gabriel, those guys over there. All he had to do was call a legion of them. And the whole Roman Empire would be destroyed. Can I get an amen? No. That wasn't Jesus' M.O. He had to show mankind how to forgive. Because we were what? We were tormentors. We could think of the worst towards someone. Because of our sinfulness. Because of the fall of Adam. We're filled with bitterness and anger and clamor and unforgiveness and licentiousness, perversion. It's in the nature of Adam. We were born with that nature. Jesus had to come, hallelujah, and showed us how to love and how to forgive. Because if we cannot forgive one another, guess what? God cannot forgive us. I got some scripture for that. Look at Matthew 6:14. If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. What? That there it is in a nutshell. Are there some people in your life that you can't stand? Think again. You better go back to your heart of hearts and say, God, forgive me for me having that ill will toward them. And I know some that you hated may have died already. So how do you resolve that? You get on your knees and say, God, forgive me. Cleanse me. Wash me. Forgive me how I entreated that one, how I thought about that one. And guess what? The Bible says, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. God makes a way of escape for us. We'll never be boxed in like Satan wants to box you in. Satan wants you to have no escape mechanism. But I'm here to let you know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, hallelujah, the Alpha and the Omega, the God of all gods, will make a way of escape for you. Hallelujah. Did you know that he is your attorney in fact? He's your advocate. He's your counselor. He's the mighty God. He's the everlasting Father. This is what he will do for you if you allow him. Can I get amen? Let's look at point 7. Look at this. He came to leave us truths and teachings to transform our lives and prepare us to meet him in the future. Wow. Although saints of God, we have never seen Jesus physically. One day we're going to see him face to face. How many can't wait to see him face to face? You know why? Because we're going to be in the glory of God. We will be like him. Hallelujah. We'll be able to contain his glory. Just imagine in this body of flesh, if he were to be here right now in his brilliance, we would disintegrate because our flesh cannot contain that radiant light. But we will have a body like his. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. We'll be able to contain the glory because we will be glorified in our new bodies. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Ooh, I can't wait. How many can't wait for that?
I can't wait.
Thank you, God. But for now, Jesus' mission is to prepare us to live holy lives in a world that's very sinful. It's an unforgiving world. We live in an unforgiving world. I hope you know that. You know why it's unforgiving? Because there's still wars. There's wars around the world. There's wars in our cities. There's hoodlums down the street who are at war with one another. There's still wars. Why? Because we live in an unforgiving world. That's why Jesus has to come and change it all. Hallelujah. He's got to come and renovate the world so that there will be peace that surpasses all understanding. This is why coming to Sundays and Wednesdays, we're in the school of hard knocks. We're learning the things of God so that when we become like him, all that we've learned, hallelujah, will be in motion. It won't be foreign to us. The word of God will it'll dwell richly in you and me. How many of you love the word of God? You know what? You wouldn't be here if you didn't love the word. Praise God. Look what he wrote in John 14:27. Look at this. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives to you, I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. We cannot be fearful on the things that we see. It's a violent world. You know, one of the things that come to mind that brings grief and grievance is when someone that we know that's close to us, when they die. Some of them die a natural death. Some of them die a brutal death. Some of them die naturally. Some of them are murdered. But the Bible says, don't let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Every morning I wake up and say, God, empower me for this day. I can't go back yesterday. I can't live tomorrow because I'm not there yet. But I can live today. I'm here today. So God, let my heart walk with no fear. Let my heart learn to love, continue, Lord. And the closest one to me is my beautiful wife. And he has taught me how to truly love her. And to admonish her and to water her with the water of the word. To love her like Christ has loved his church. You know that the marriage is modeled after Christ and the church? That's why we're called the bride of Christ. Because he has betrothed us. We are betrothed to him. So he's coming back for his bride. We are the bride of Christ. Can I get an amen? You remember when you were courting your wife, your spouse? You had all the hooey gooey gooeys. All you thought was, how many flowers can I buy today? How many candies can I bring her? And you know what? She wasn't looking for none of that. She was just looking for your heart to love her. Can I get an amen? All your spouse wants is a heart that will love them. And for you single ones, Jesus is your lover. Can I get an amen? Learn to love Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. He's there for all of us. But for the single ones, learn to love him. And then when it's time, he'll bring Prince Charming. He'll bring a beautiful princess. Be specific with him. Tell him what you want. Lord, I want this character in her. I want these characteristics. Forget about the outer, because the outer perishes. The outer don't look like that after several years go by. You should be thinking, I mean, you know what? I want one with character. Virtue. Precious things that are like fine gold. One that will love you despite of yourself. One that will come together with you. You know what? Some marriages still need to be reminded. I don't care how many years have gone by. Some of you have to be reminded. You know what? God has placed your spouse with you until he comes for you. So learn to love that person unconditionally. Without stipulations. Learn. Learn to love them. You know why? Because that's the model that God wants you to operate in. Because that's the model of Christ in the church. He loves us despite of ourselves. He's coming back for a church despite of itself. The one thing that is certain that it's been washed in the blood. Hallelujah. His blood. And so all he sees is the blood-washed church. Hallelujah. That loves him, that praises him, that glorifies him. Hallelujah. And so you singles, learn to love him like that. And learn to love your children like that too. You know why? Because one day they're going to have children. Hallelujah. And the only thing they're going to remember is how they were treated. Can I get amen? Amen? You treat them disrespectfully, this is what you get in return. But if you love them with godly conviction, with discipline in their life, loving them, correcting them, and then telling them why you disciplined them, why you corrected them, they will learn to love what you are teaching them. It's easy to spank someone and send them to the room and they don't even know what they did. Tell them what they've done wrong. And tell them, listen, this doesn't please me. I want you to learn from this. And then reconcile them back after you've disciplined them. When you pull them back in and tell them, I love you. I had to do this. But I love you. I don't want to see you go down a dark road. They will learn to love you. My goodness. My goodness. You know why I know that works? You know why I know that works? Because my children love the Lord. My grandchildren love the Lord. Why? Because that's what God told me to demonstrate to them. And so I'm just reaping what I sowed into them. God wants to allow you to reap, sow into their lives with love, with purity, with honesty. Hallelujah. Because they're the next church. They're the next church. And they want to see true sincerity. They want to see mommy and daddy love each other. You know why? Because they can trust that. And guess what? When they see you loving one another, when they see you loving God, they will learn to love like that. Oh God, hallelujah, help us. Thank you, God. And so let's move on to number 8. He came to teach us how to pray. Praise God. Praise God. Prayer was an essential part of Jesus' life. Can I get amen? We just didn't start service at 10. We were here at 8:50 praying in the Holy Ghost. Can I get amen? Amen? Praying that you would all come to receive the Word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. That you would be blessed. We are praying for you. Can I get amen? Amen. That God will have something for you. Amen. That you could take home to bless your lives and bless your children. To bless one another. Can I get amen? Amen? That's all we're asking God to do. To enrich in you. To strengthen you. Amen. To heal you. To bless you. That should be the only motive why we pray for one another. Amen. Don't pray about their sin. Because the moment you do that, there's three looking right back at you. Pray that you would strengthen your brother and your sister. Lift them up, that they would be edified and built up in their most holy faith. Because when they start going that direction, look out. God's going to use you like no other. Hallelujah. How many love to be used by God? Amen. Come on, yes. Thank you, God. Look at this in Mark 1:35. Early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went away to a secluded place, and was praying there. You catch that? Early in the morning.
Early in the morning.
In the morning. Whoo! Early in the morning. Whoo! Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Early in the morning. Although his time of ministry was only 3 years, he was 33 and a half. When he went to the cross. We never knew of him being old. In his 50s or 60s. He's only 30, 33. Having observed how Jesus prayed, his disciples, saints of God, asked him he said, teach us how to pray. Look what it says in Luke 11:1. Now it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. You know, some people, just teach them simple things. It don't take all that. You can pray sitting down. You can pray on your knees. You can pray standing up. You can pray walking around. Just pray. You know what praying is? Talking to God. It's talking to God. You know, I've been to so many different ministries. Oh, you pray with your head down, pray with your eyes closed. Then someone will say, keep your eyes open. Keep looking at them. You never know if a demon's going to fall. Man! People get so religious. Just pray. It's simple. Just pray. Just open your mouth and pray. Say, oh, God, I love you. You know what the first thing you ought to come out of your mouth? I love you, Lord. I bless you, Jesus. I magnify you. You know, before you give them your laundry list, we all have a laundry list. Oh, well, come on. Some of us got 10 for that day. Some of us got 100 things. It's on my list. You know what? First open your mouth and say how much you love him. God, I magnify you. I bless you. And by the time your giant list is so big and you start praising him and you start feeling his presence and then you're just caught up with him, all of a sudden all those concerns you had start to shrink. And all of a sudden he took your burden away. He took that thing that was ailing you. A lot of times he just says, get in my presence. Get in my presence. I know what you're going through. Just get in my presence. I'll take care of you. I know exactly what you need. You know that God knows exactly what we need. He knows it better than we know ourselves. But we should always set aside that time for him. Can I get an amen? Find that time. He won't disappoint you. Number 9, look at this. He came to give us assurance of life after death. Wow. What did Jesus say to Martha? Remember when Lazarus was dead? But Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. They had faith of the past. They had no faith for the present. They had faith for the future. Oh, I know you're going to come again. But right then and there, when Lazarus died, they had no faith for today. God wants us to have faith for today. Look what he said. Look at this. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, what? Will live even if he dies. Wow. God wants us to have faith for today, now, and believe who he is. I'm coming in for a close. Number 10, he came to assure us that heaven is our home. Heaven is our home. How many can't wait? That's right. And we're not going to be up there playing harps. Eating bonbons, sitting on
golden wings, yes.
Playing the lyre. You know what the lyre is, right? It's what King David played. It's called a lyre. We're going to be up there doing that. No. Look at this. He says, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have not told you. I go to prepare a place for you. This is where he's at, preparing a place for you and me. Let me just say this. Rancho Santa Fe has nothing that he has prepared for you. I've seen a $40 million home. Well, I went on realtor tours where there'd be like 30 of us caravanning in Rancho Santa Fe. I know what a $40 million looks like with all the amenities. They have the horse stables. They got the tennis courts, the basketball courts. They got swimming pools that go inside the house and outside of the house. They got theater rooms. They got massage rooms. They got wine cellars below. They have all the amenities. But even that pales in comparison to what God has prepared for you and I. Hallelujah. You know why? Because what he has prepared for you and I, we won't need Corky's Pest Control to come and get the termites. We won't have to worry about changing the carpet, cleaning toilets. Hallelujah. Replastering, retexturizing. remodeling the kitchen. Aren't you so blessed that nothing will fade away? You know why? Because it's not going to be built with man's hands. God is going to prepare it for you and I. Oh, thank you, God. You have to believe this. If you don't believe this, maybe it's not for you. He goes, in my Father's house are many dwelling places. Some of your says many mansions. King James, I think you, Pastor Art, you have King James over there, don't you? Does it say many mansions? If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Look at this. He came to prepare us to live in a way that influences others. How many is so thankful for that? Jesus trained 12 men who eventually would impact the world. Did you know those 12 disciples turned the world upside down? Huh? Did you know on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 souls were saved? And then later on, and you read in the book of Acts, another 5,000. And if you look at 2,000 years later, God saved us. It hasn't quit, has it? Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And so lastly, he came to establish the church. So we're living in the church age. This is the age of grace. This is the dispensation of grace. And this is closing. This dispensation is closing. And once it closes, the 7-year tribulation will begin. We're going to be out of the way. And then when Jesus comes back, it's going to be the 1,000-year millennial reign. We're going to live on this planet for 1,000 years with him in total peace. There'll be no more wars, rumors of wars. There'll be no more sinful things. Can you imagine a world without any sin in it? We'll be living in total peace, where the wolf will lay down with the lamb, where you can put your hand in a snake hole and it won't bite you. Wow, there'll be no more animals killing each other to eat. He's going to prepare that for us. And we're going to live like that for 1,000 years. That is the golden age. So this age we're living in right now, it's closing. It's coming in for a close. Then he's going to take the church out of the way. And then the tribulation will begin. And then Jesus is coming back with us. And he's going to destroy all of his enemies with the word of God that will come forth out of his mouth. The Bible says out of his mouth will come the word of God and will destroy every enemy. The Bible says his robe will be dipped in blood. And we get a front row seat. We won't have to lift up a hand. We're going to all watch God do it all by himself. Hallelujah. And then we're going to live with them for 1,000 years. How many can't wait for that? But what he told Peter as we close, he says, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades or the gates of hell will not overpower it. Praise God. Let me just say this. Satan could not prevent us from being saved. Can I get amen? Amen. Hallelujah. How many are so blessed that his plan for you failed? Satan's plan failed. Hallelujah. God's plan won. Hallelujah. Why? Because we are now the called out saints. We've been washed in the blood. Thank you, God. The rock on which the church is built is the truth of God's word. And it's all about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Despite persecution, trials, and all the sufferings that we have to endure, he has accomplished his mission of building the church that endures throughout generations. So it's been what? 2,000 years already that the church has been established. Even the death of the saints cannot destroy it. as multitudes continue to be saved. There are still people being saved today. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
In Africa, South America, everywhere around the world, people are getting saved. Left and right. And so I close. I close with this. Yes, I close with Matthew. And then we're going to tear it up in here. Amen. Let's go to Matthew 24. Look at this. He came to get us ready for his second coming. He came to get us ready. Let me just ask this question before we get to Matthew. How many of you are being prepared?
Amen.
How many of you are further along than when you first began? Huh?
Much more.
How much more, huh?
Much more.
Remember when you first got saved, man? What? Turn where? We were trying to find... I got to buy those little stickies to put the names of the Bibles on the book. Oh, you guys remember that one? Turn to the book of Philippians. Man, they got Filipinos. Let's go to Matthew 24. Look at this. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Ooh, then the sun, look at that. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Not gray glory, but great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. And they will gather together his elect from four winds and from one end of heaven to the other. Look at this. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near, at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things what?
Take place.
Wow, look at this. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man being. And right now, we're living the days of Noah and Lot. Everything you see on television is violent. Every movie, every series, violent and vile and vicious. And sex right now is on a rampage. All these things. Look at this. For as in the days of the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will be the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field, one be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken, the other one left. Watch therefore, say that with me. Watch therefore, for you do not know what the hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. He's coming again, saints. He's coming again. And my question is, are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready to meet the King?
Yes.
Are you ready to meet the Lord? And those of you that have joined us on Facebook and YouTube, maybe you logged in, maybe by accident, maybe you were word searching the word amazing or grace, and we popped up, and now you're listening. It's not a coincidence that you're still listening. Because God is calling you. And you too can have salvation. Like we hear. Listen, saints. I want to ask all of you to pray with me. To pray for those who maybe, just maybe, it'll be the first time they prayed the Lord Jesus to come into their heart. So pray this prayer with me. Those of you that are watching, bow your heart and your head and ask Jesus to come into your heart right now. Pray this simple prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my life. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout. Hallelujah. Come on, is he worthy? Come on, is he worthy? Hallelujah. Woo, we serve a mighty God. Amen.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.